So greetings and welcome to Baptism Sunday. As Mac mentioned, we have three of our middle schoolers and one of our Vox adults who are being baptized today. And baptism in the ancient church was historically offered on the Sunday after Easter. And it was an opportunity to celebrate the movement from life to death and to new life. So essentially, we're acknowledging that God's love and grace are changing us. They're breathing life into the dead spaces, even as we sit and are open today. So let me start off acknowledging that living into deep change can be challenging. In fact, I had a seminary professor that used to say he only had one idea ever for a bumper sticker, and it was going to be, "Change is great, you first." Which I always thought that's about right. Some of us raise your hand if you love change. You just love change for change. Okay, we have a lot of people who love change. Awesome. How many would say change kind of raises your level of anxiety on some level when you think about? Okay, gotcha. Sometimes I think change is hard because we think it's all up to us to change ourselves. Or that somehow God is waiting for us to get our stuff together before good things will happen in our lives. Yet what we see in baptism is that God is constantly embracing us where we are. And change with God actually works in a really different way. So I want to start with a little bit of an example from biology. So my son has a lithop plant. I think I have a picture of it in our kitchen window. So that's an actual picture of it. And I started to see like the top of it. So it was not like split open, but the top of it started to look kind of wilty. And I know they're desert plants, but I thought, oh, these things need some water. So I started watering a little bit every like other week or so. And one day Jordan came up to me and he said, "Dad, are you watering my lithops?" I said, "Yes." Because I knew, you know, like I was in trouble almost. He said, "Please don't. You're killing them." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The old leaves, so these kind of big things that are parting, and the things underneath are these, they're actually leaves, which are pretty awesome. And they're called like leaf windows or something." And he said, basically, they have to die in order for the plant to flower and the new leaves to emerge. So I think I have a little bit of a time-lapse video of this process. I don't know if you can see that very well. It's really quick. Did you catch it? But essentially, and it may reappear. There you go. So you can kind of see. So the old leaves have actually fallen off. And so it's showing like, I think, over 5 or 7 days. And as the new leaves start to kind of emerge, there's a flower that gets sent up through the middle of the lithop. And that's like a day of it, I guess. Opening and closing. It's pretty cool, huh? So basically he was saying, if you water them now, you're watering the old leaves, which are going to keep the new leaves from emerging. So you can see the red or the new leaves underneath. And basically that's going to kill the whole plant. I was like, "Man, I'm sorry." But thank you. Can I use this as a baptism illustration? To which I got an eye roll. But so when we come to the waters of baptism, we're acknowledging that the old forms of our life are dying. The visions and dreams of who we thought we were, our pictures of what we thought our life would be, need to be released. We can stop watering them. Because the new leaves are already being formed amid what's dying in our lives. Right now, as we sit here today. And our flower is about to emerge. So today we're going to look at Jesus' baptism and hear the stories of several in our community are coming to be baptized. And our hope today is as you hear these stories, that you'll pray for those and encourage their journeys. So as you get to hear a little bit of Gracie and Noah and Zachary and Madeline, that you would actually kind of get a sense of what they've been through and why they're doing this today and could be a part of their journey. We'll also see how the process of baptism is more about relaxing into the change God is already creating in us, even as we sit and we wait. So please read aloud together from Matthew chapter 3 with the people sitting next to you, as is our custom. Okay. So Jesus is about to start his public ministry. So to our knowledge, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything impressive. But he's about to start this journey, or this part of his journey, where he's going to bring healing to people's bodies and images of who they thought God was. God is more than a critical, angry, cosmic parent. And so he's in this process of helping us change our minds about who we think God is. And to kick it off, Jesus asks a homeless man who eats bugs covered in honey and is dressed in camel hair underwear. So it's an interesting choice for an ambassador to start his ministry. In fact, we see in verses 1 through 6, if we back up a little bit, while Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. God and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert, prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John, dressed in a camel hair habit tied at the waist by a leather strap, he lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. And there at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. We are being baptized into a changed life. Many of us believe we have to generate all the good and all the change in our lives. That if we believe the right things and if we behave well, then God will show favor. And our journey with Christ really invites us to actually ask, what is my small part? Trusting that God is somehow at work on my behalf in my life. And the acknowledgement that our deepest change moves us beyond just empty belief. So I want to take a look. We have, for our junior hires, we have several video interviewers. And the hardest part of today may be for them just watching themselves. I've tried to reassure them it's hard for all of us to see and hear ourselves. So just take a deep breath. But let's take a look at our first interview with actually my daughter, Grace Minix, who is coming to be baptized this year.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm in seventh grade. I'm almost 13. I like to draw and play instruments, and yeah.
Great. Would you share a little bit of your faith story?
When I was little, like when I was a baby, my parents were part of a church in Oregon called Rivers Way. Then we moved to Texas, and we were part of a church called Haney Chapel. And then we were part of Fox, and that's what we're currently part of.
So who have been a few people that have been influential in your faith journey?
Probably my mom and my dad, just because they believe so strongly, and they're very open-minded and very accepting of everyone's different way that they want to believe.
Have there been any kind of important experiences you've had that have kind of helped your faith journey or helped you think about it?
When I was younger, we had a dog that died, and it kind of just started getting me thinking, like, oh, death is a thing that's going to happen eventually. Like, what happens after death? What's going to happen? And then I progressively became more and more, like, anxious and scared and stuff. And then I realized, like, it's less about believing with all of your heart that there's something there and knowing that it's there. And it's more just about trusting that something is there.
Yeah. And why are you wanting to get baptized?
It's kind of like to prove to myself and kind of like to prove to everyone else that, like, it means this much to me to love God and that he loves me, because, like, I don't like going in front of people really, and this is kind of like pushing myself, and yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Good job. Yeah, we can clap. And what if that's true, that our beliefs matter, but deeper still is this invitation to simply trust? And that maybe that is actually one of the most challenging things in this life, to embrace our identity as a fully lovable and loved person. And this brings us back into our passage in verses 13 through 14. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, "I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it." I like this translation. I don't know why. It's like, just do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. So baptism is about full acceptance. And the part of this passage that really is amazing to me is this sense of God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. Centuries of God's work is coming together in this moment. I don't actually know what that means, but here's my guess. They had a sense that baptism was about dealing with the impure and broken parts of who we are, our sin. It was a way to get rid of them so we could have access to God, if that makes sense. So baptism was for the unworthy. And Jesus scandalizes the whole ritual for John and the people there. Like, just imagine for a minute how strange this is. John is being asked to baptize the one they are trying to be pure enough for. Does that make sense? It's crazy. So Jesus is entering the waters of their mistakes and brokenness, and he's redefining what these waters are. Yes, they're about forgiveness of sin and mistakes made, absolutely. But when Jesus goes into our waters, they become about reconnecting with our inherent loveliness, our inherent identity. We've never not been loved by God, and it's so much deeper than our performance or our behavior. And we just barely believe that, if at all. So I like that at Vox, we practice fully immersing ourselves into the waters of baptism because it really communicates the ongoing invitation of our faith to experience acceptance where we were sure that we would be rejected and judged. I can bring these parts to God that seem okay, but not my anger, my sadness, my shame, my grief, my regret for my mistakes. Those I want to leave outside of the baptismal experience, if you will. You can wash this part, but this part I'm pretty sure is beyond. So our next baptism story, I think, really sounds out the meaning of this acceptance. So let's give a listen as Noah Sang shares some of what baptism means to him today.
So I am Noah Sang, and I'm 12, and I like playing video games. And ever since I was, before I was born, I've been going to church every Sunday with my parents.
What do you find interesting about Jesus' baptism story?
I think something that's interesting about his story is that John baptized him and not like God or like someone of greater importance.
Mm-hmm. So how does baptism relate to stories of how you're learning to accept yourself in a deeper way?
I think I have a story about like accepting. One night I was at my house and the San Estefanos were over, like McKinsey, and it was getting late. So they put down Jasper, and they put him in my parents' bed, which I did not know. And later, I think it was about like 10 o'clock when I was like really little, so it was like really late for me. And then I was super tired, and my parents told me to brush my teeth. So I, on my way, like the bedroom is kind of connected to the bathroom where I brush my teeth, and then so on the way, I got really tired, and then I just kind of collapsed on the bed. And then Jasper was there, and I felt really bad because I thought I hurt him. But even when that happened, I thought my parents were going to be really mad at me and the San Estefanos. But they were, like, really chill with me. It was really nice. And it helps me know I'm loved, even though when I make mistakes.
Yeah. And what does it mean for you to be chosen and marked by love the delight of God's life.
I have some experience with being chosen. Like, when I tried to get into Keeling, I had to write 3 essays and take a few tests at various different middle schools, and it was really hard to get in. And I know that they only accepted 300 out of 1,000 students. So when I got the letter that I was accepted, I knew I was super happy.
Hmm. And what are you saying yes to in your decision to be baptized?
I think I'm kind of saying yes to getting a new life and getting rid of all my sin, the old.
Thank you.
So what if that's true when we're sure, we're sure God is going to respond in a certain way, and then we come to find out that there's just this place of acceptance for what we were certain was not acceptable, there wasn't a way for it. When we get baptized, the parts of us we don't like are fully embraced in the waters of grace. Before God wants to help us change anything, God receives all of who we are. In baptism, the whole of who you are is taken into mercy. God starts with complete acceptance. And if we really want to change something deep about ourselves, we must first start with a significant period of acceptance. God's delight is our touch point for learning to accept ourselves. And this is the new thing that happens in Jesus' baptism. We experience God delighting in people just as they are before they change anything, before they do anything different. It says that the moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him, and along with the Spirit a voice. This is my child, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. Baptism invites us to receive God's delight in us. At some point, if you stay in this journey of faith, you'll realize what it is you've been reaching for, the deepest things. Maybe it's belonging, hope, worth, acceptance, love, peace, connection. We'll start to see that much of what we do in life is scratching at those important needs. And if we stay in the river, we will also start to see more and more that we already have each of those things, but we just didn't know it. One of those deep questions we often ask is, what must I do to be accepted by God? And the answer in Jesus' baptism is, it's too late. For some reason, God is already delighting in you. And our next baptism story really fills out the significance of this. So I invite you to listen to Zachary Lee's baptism story.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit of your faith background story.
Okay, so my name is Zachary Lee. I'm an 8th grader at Keeling Middle School. I enjoy playing video games and doing art and reading. And I've gone to church with my parents my whole life.
What do you find interesting about Jesus' baptism story?
I find it interesting that he doesn't baptize John, but he's baptized by John. And it shows a sort of sense of humbling and how he doesn't come down as a magnificent king or whatever. He comes down as he comes down in one of the poorest places and wants us to be humble and yeah.
Yeah. And how does baptism relate to helping you accept yourself in a deeper way?
It just sort of helps me because I always worry about what people think about me and what I do and what I say, how it affects how people judge me. And baptism is just sort of understanding that I don't need to do that to be loved, and that I can just not really overthink what I have to do.
And who has been influential for you in your journey?
Well, my parents have been taking me to church all my life, and they always talk, or sometimes they'll talk about how when they were younger, when they were growing up, they didn't fully learn the whole picture of like who God is, what he does, and what everything means. They would tell me how, as they got older, they sort of realized what they missed. And I feel like as I looked over like what I did, I could look at my actions and just see why I did them. And I noticed that I did it because, like, based on how other people reacted or whatever, what other people thought about it. And so I would always worry, like, oh, what if they think, like, this is bad or something? And so I worried, like, way too much. My parents just sort of helped me realize that I don't need to do that. And they would always tell me, as I was growing up, that I don't need to worry about being loved and that they always love me. And I would always just brush it off and be like, yeah, yeah, I know, but I realize now that it has affected me, and it's good that I'm realizing it.
Mm-hmm. And what are you saying yes to in your decision to be baptized?
I feel like I'm just acknowledging that I don't need to do anything to be loved and that I'm already loved. And I'm just trusting and acknowledging that trust to God that he will love me no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you.
Really appreciate the part in your story, Zach, around kind of working through the tendency to overthink things, because we all have these tendencies that are a lot of times annoying for us, sometimes problematic. And so our relationship with God is about helping us with them, not because God has a problem with it, but because we do. We want to be free to live out our lives and to love in deep ways. And God is so delighted with us that God's willing to help us out. So we have one last interview today, and I'd like to invite our last interview up now, Madeline Strickland, if y'all could give her. Hey, welcome.
Thanks. Hi.
Hey. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm not in middle school. I'm 23 years old. I am currently an instructional aide in a structured learning environment at an elementary school, which basically means I get to help teach a couple of little boys on the autism spectrum. And it's wild, but it's so much fun. And I love them more than I can say. I'm hoping to teach next year. I like to read and I like to write. And my favorite thing in the world is to drink coffee with my roommates, who are also my best friends.
Nice, nice. And can you share a little of kind of what you find interesting about Jesus' baptism story?
Yeah, what I really love about the baptism story is that before Jesus' formal ministry, like, even starts, before he's done anything that magnificent, he comes out of the water and God's like, you're my son and I'm really pleased with you. And that's just super beautiful to me.
And I know I've already asked these questions. You've had some time to think about it, but how does baptism relate to helping you accept yourself in a deeper way?
Yeah. So I grew up in the church. My parents raised me in the Methodist church and then sort of had me go to Christian school for a while. And that was a super healthy foundation for my faith. And I'm convinced that Mary and Clayton, my parents, are the best human beings on the planet. And I'm abundantly thankful that they're mine because they never forced anything on me. They always wanted me to own my faith and ask hard questions. I think when I was like 3, I asked my mom, what if there are more gods than just the God that we believe in? And my mom was like, okay, this is how this is going to go. But they're the best. But when I got a little bit older, I started hearing some pretty troubling theology about who God is and who I am. And it was the first time that I really started to hear, like, you're evil, you're bad, you're disgusting. And as, you know, a young girl, you don't really need a lot of help believing those things about yourself. I was like, yes, I get behind this. I can do this. And I also started hearing a lot of troubling ideas about what it means to be a Christian woman and that my sole role in life was to be a submissive wife. And that's really hard when A, you're not a wife, so you can't be a submissive wife. And B, you have a big personality and you're dynamic and you have a lot of crazy ideas. And so there was this part of me that was ashamed of my feminism. And then there was a part of me that was ashamed of my femininity, if that makes sense. And just a lot of trouble there. And so I've always been striving to figure out what I need to be better at and what trying to attain this unattainable goodness. And so at the end of college, I went through a pretty difficult breakup, and it caused me to ask a lot of questions of like, well, I did everything right, so why am I being punished? Also, God, what do you want from me? And just really sought healing after that. And so I ended up coming back to Vox. I had been for a while in college, and I came back, and it was super healthy to see women completely not just invited into the life of the church, but like seen as necessary, and to see women teach. Also just to see people fully accept who they are and be unapologetically them. That was really healing. But I think something that really catapulted me into acceptance was at the end of a homily, Gideon said to us, "You are good." And I remember being in my chair and being like, no, like I, like my body rejected it. Like I like tensed up, like thought I was like a little queasy. And I was like, no, that's not true. I'm not good. I'm really bad. I'm horrible. I'm disgusting. And I feel like God sort of invited me into a conversation at that point. And, you know, was like, Madeline, what if you are good because I love you and I'm making you good every day? And what if you can stop striving to be something that you're not and just rest in who I made you to be? And what would that mean for how you treat me, and what would that mean for how you treat other people, and ultimately like what would that mean for the way you treat yourself? So that's how I've sort of moved into acceptance.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think you mentioned too when we were talking this week around the kids you work with and how that kind of has been a help to you as well.
Yeah, so I have been surrounded by kids since I was a kid, and I was a nanny for a while to a beautiful little girl named Abigail, and now work with a couple of little boys on the autism spectrum, like I said. And sometimes when I'm like thinking really harsh thoughts about myself, or I think of like God is displeased with me, I think, would I ever want one of my babies to like think that? And immediately I'm like, no, because it's not true. Like, that's so stupid. That's silly. And then it sort of pushes me into a space of just like having grace for myself and embracing that like the Lord loves me and expects very little from me.
Yeah, that sounds like grace. And what does it mean for you to be baptized today?
I think that grace is a beautiful mystery, but it's also as tangible as like going into the water and coming up clean and hearing that God is pleased with me. So baptism to me is an affirmation that Jesus is gracious and good, and that because of who he is, I don't have to strive anymore because he was perfect for me. And ultimately that Jesus is my friend, and I just want to follow my friend.
Thank you so much. Good job. So perhaps the invitation is to enter the river with God, to swim sometimes, but to let it carry us in other seasons. So that over time we come to find out more and more we already have what we've been reaching for. And the heavy lifting has already been accomplished by Christ. So rather than faith being this kind of frenzy of activity to impress God, we come to find that Jesus is just there loving us. And as we really start to trust that, then it really is enough to just be there in our life with God, who starts with immersing the parts in people we were sure were not acceptable. And our faith becomes more and more about relaxing into the presence of one who chooses us and marks us with love, you are the delight of God's life, right where you are today. So please pray with me. Humble God, as we relax into the waters of grace today, help us enter the story and consider receiving some of your delight in us today. And for those being baptized today, we ask that this day would be a graced memory that they can call on when they're pretty sure they have stepped beyond your delight and there is no way back. That today would gently confront them with the power of your grace and mercy that no darkness can fully overcome. We ask all this in the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the empathy of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to now pray for our baptizees. And so if we can just have everyone getting baptized, if you could please stand. And Grace, I'm going to invite you. There's a seat up here if you want to come on up as well. Yeah. So let's say thank you for them, for all the baptizees sharing their story. So on the screen, we're going to ask you a couple questions, and then there's a chance where you're going to get to respond. And then after that, we're going to ask our community to stand together as we walk with them. And so to our wonderful baptizees, baptism is not something that you do alone. You are being baptized into the church. In doing so, you're inviting a community to have a place in your life, welcoming you to be loved by God and participate in God's grace in this world. You're here today committing to a communal way of life that is the church, with all of its weaknesses, which we have a lot, and all of its strengths, and we have some of those too. Will you commit to participating in the richness of community and the beauty and perseverance it requires? If you will, just say together, we will. Will you promise to do the best, to be loved, and to love God the best you can with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, dying to your old false self, and begin each day anew in Christ? And then finally, will you do the best you can to consent to grace each day? And then now to our community, if you can all please stand. And if you're near one of the baptizees, you can grab them and touch them and hug them if you'd like, and put a hand on them. And so to the Vox community, do you accept your role in the life of these baptizees? Will you commit to nurturing faith together and helping them to be loved and to love God together in participating in God's grace in the world? If so, say we will.
We will.
And so this is our prayer. You can respond in the highlighted yellow. Continue to resurrect us, Lord, from our ways of earning love, that we may be open, that we may open our hearts to your love that is already present.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring us to the fullness of your peace and the way of grace.
Lord, hear our prayer.
O God, as your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as you loved us, may we be transformed by grace and led by your Spirit. May we follow in your way, in the mercy of the Father, in the grace of your Son, and the empathy of your Spirit. Amen.